Hello, I'm your host, Andrew Jemetzko. I bet you didn't know there's an original What Did I Just Watch podcast that started about a year and a half before this What Did We Just Watch podcast. Well, it's true. We have a similar premise, but they're a longer show and more rowdy, too. The snarky older stepbrother to this shorter, more genteel show. So, if that tickles your fancy, check out What Did I Just Watch on iTunes, Stitcher, or at Some Jerk Productions. And now, on with the show.
This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
What did I just watch?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Andrew.
What did we just watch?
Forbidden Zone.
Whoa! I'm living in the sixth dimension.
Just keep saying to yourself, it's only a movie.
Living in the sixth dimension.
It's only a movie. It's only a movie that will have you living in the sixth dimension. Moving in the wrong direction. A new fantasy musical comedy. The Forbidden Zone.
I want to know this first. How familiar with Oingo Boingo are you?
Not at all. I know they exist. I know Danny Elfman comes from Oingo Boingo, but every Oingo Boingo song I've heard just sounds like a bad version of a Devo song. I've always felt that they weren't... Oh, there's your surprise face.
That's my surprise face!
Yeah.
Oh,
Devo's
wow.
Way more focused, and thank God they never tried to make a movie.
So you really haven't... They did, actually. It's called Human Highway, and it is by Neil Young, and maybe it'll be on What Did I Just Watch one day, because it's a weirdo.
That already sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Neil Young directed that thing. Oingo Boingo came out of the 70s. They were...
Weren't they more of a performance?
They were Mystical Knights of the Oingo Boingo. They were a musical troupe. So they did musical theater sort of stuff. And it was all circusy and macabre and strange and bizarre.
Yeah, none of the things I like.
But this movie served as them distancing themselves from that. Danny Elfman, actually Richard Elfman, wanted to focus on making movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Elfman was handed the baton, but Danny didn't want to do the whole lugging around a semi-truck full of equipment and people. He wanted to strip it down and make a band. And he was getting into ska, so you're not too familiar with Oingo Boingo.
No, I know they exist.
So in the 80s, Oingo Boingo came up doing little singles for movies.
Weird Science.
That was later, but earlier than this movie, Last American Virgin, they had a song called Better Luck Next Time. And it's like the only good thing about that movie. And they just kept getting little songs here and there in. And then they did this movie. They wanted to head towards the new wave sort of sound, as opposed to staying with the weird, bizarre circus stuff. So they did this movie to distance themselves from it. And The Sixth Dimension, that theme song, is kind of quintessential Oingo Boingo sound.
Yeah.
Right there. But after this movie, they started doing Only a Lad, which is a huge hit record that you should probably check out. Any of their best of compilations you should check out. None of it will sound like Devo or a pale imitation of Devo.
Well, I never thought they were imitated, but I just felt I like Devo a lot. So
yeah, but what I'm saying is simply because you haven't heard Only, you'll realize eventually that it's... That's not the case. I lived in Southern California.
They seem to be super informed by SoCal.
Yeah, they were from Southern California scene back.
Because of like...
Do you know K-Rock?
Yeah, yeah.
The name?
Yeah.
K-Rock played the heck out of it.
Yeah.
The Oingo Boingo was a Halloween event. Every Halloween until 1992, maybe, was their last show on Halloween. So Oingo Boingo was a big deal in Southern California.
Yeah.
Huge. In the meantime... He did movies.
Yeah.
And this was his first movie that he did. And you're more familiar with his movie music.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything.
But
else.
I did hear a lot of... I've noticed... Well, I mean, a lot of his stuff, like incorporated, like you're saying, that circusy macabre, a lot of it is just interpretations of folk music. Ska, klezmer, everything. That's like every folk music, because it's the simplest beat.
Yeah.
Like, polka has that, Tejano, like all these regional...
Yeah, well, that's what
regional music just come from that one...
Yeah, I used to be into ska a lot.
Yeah,
like
basically, and what defines it is that upstroke one and two.
Yeah,
and ska. That's...
And I didn't realize that Oingo Boingo had roots in ska. And actually, gradually as they went on, they started stripping that away from their music too,
yeah.
And becoming whatever they were. And the stuff that I like is actually mid Oingo Boingo. If I tried to do like I'm going to listen to Oingo Boingo all day and listen to all the catalog, I can't do it.
Yeah, I feel just, like it'd be a slog.
It, yeah. This movie, Forbidden Zone. Stone is exactly what I said. 1982 came out, took 3 years to make, and is chock full of racism and sexism. But or is it?
It's informed by, I guess, a lot of those like old, so like Betty Boop, early black and white cartoons.
Yeah, Max
Fleischer. Yeah, so I mean, the racism is just kind of par for the course with
culture
at that time, and I mean, America at that time.
It's okay, the movie starts off with a house, and then the words over it saying,
the very first,
this guy's a pimp, and he went down into the basement. Yeah. He's a pimp drug dealer.
Went to get his heroin.
And he went down to the basement and fell into the sixth dimension and left his house really quickly. Because there's a hole. There's a portal in the basement. And he left really quickly. And then he went back inside to get his heroin. But the guy is a man, a white man, in blackface. So that's what the movie starts with.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it took the colorized version of this movie to realize just how racist this movie seems.
Oh, so this movie was originally in black and white.
Yeah, released in black and white. Intended to be in color exactly how you saw it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that until looking it up today. They ran out of money to do the post-production. They were going to send it off to China to have it hand-colored.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't swing it. So the re-release of the Blu-ray or something, they could do it. And that's what we got now, which is the intended version. I've seen it in black and white before.
It probably works way better in black and white to actually reference those cartoons. A lot of the visuals look amazing and they would be great, and they totally remind me of black and white cartoons, so I feel like maybe lose some of that.
Yeah, well,
with the color version?
Right, see?
Because if you see blackface in black and white, it's like, oh, it's kind of this harmless cartoon, but it's the red lips and like,
yeah,
being confronted with the reality
of the Sambo. Yeah. The Sambo thing.
Yeah.
With the red lips, the watermelon eater thing.
Yeah.
But this movie actually has a lot of everybody in it. It has Hispanics, it has black people.
That's why I said it feels like it comes out of SoCal, because there's like little cholos in there. That's the only reason I knew that was SoCal.
Yeah.
That's the only place you would know about those growing up in the 70s in America.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me what you think the story is? Because it might be straightforward, it might not be. What do you think?
It's actually straightforward despite their best efforts to just throw so much shit on the screen. Basically, there's this portal to a forbidden zone in a house. Family lives there. The daughter gets bored at school or gets angered at school. She just jumps out of a window and goes home and then just trips on a roller skate, goes into the forbidden zone, is captured. The king of the sixth dimension falls in love with her, much to the dismay of his amazingly portrayed queen.
Yeah, Susan Terrell.
Susan Terrell.
She's amazing. She is. This is, I think, the first time I recognized her, even though I'd seen her many other times before. Like, I was like, who is this lady?
So, yeah, basically, all this other stuff happens and they escape, and that's it.
Well,
that's all Frenchie, my brain switches off around the middle.
Frenchie is the lady that you're talking about, and she is played by then the wife of Richard Elf, and she also did all the set
I looked
design.
Up that she did all the set design hand-painted.
Yeah.
Because it all looked like soundstage stuff, but it all worked well because it was, again, harkens back to that kind of insane cartoon style.
Yeah, I'm surprised that there weren't any Dutch angles in this movie. Batman 66?
Yeah.
Dutch angles are all they do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tilt like, the camera to the side, tilt the camera. This movie seemed like it was built for tilt.
Yeah.
And there was no tilting.
No, there was a lot of good, like, kind of forced perspective and stuff. Like that, but it was still like framed like
head
straight. On more like a play
and I that's actually where they come from the troop thing.
So I definitely saw that theater influence. Another thing I don't like
I don't like theater
this movie seems like the ultimate theater kid, like that you went to high school with. This is like his favorite damn movie.
I never thought of it that way.
When I was watching it, it's like those people that are weird in like way too many obvious ways, so you know they're just boring people, like wearing a bunch of crazy hats and you know, like they don't have any real because I felt like it was good, but there was no real commentary. There was no edge to it.
Well, this is the thing that I was reading
about.
It
was just
the commentary that you just said there wasn't. People have been trying to say that this movie was a commentary on overt sexism in Hollywood and how they portray women.
Mm-hmm.
So they portray these women,
but
women in this are just ornamental or sexual objects. And that's how they're portrayed mostly in the movie, except for the two main leads. Even the princess is running around topless.
Yeah.
And she is at points in sexual situations.
See, but Terrell kind of like owns the sexuality.
Yeah.
Whereas
so that's the other more ones, a feminist lean than the other ones, which are ornamental, and the two Hercules guys come up and try to hump them all the time. Which
see, but that's not a commentary. That's just like the same gag over and over.
Yeah,
like,
but that's a commentary on saying this is how women are treated in Hollywood. And at the same time, the black people, either blackface or the actual black people,
are
in
like
this,
horribly stereotyped as well.
Thugs and gamblers and the stereotypical what scared white people think of other cultures.
I don't know. It's difficult.
Is that a commentary? Are they thumbing their nose? Because this was started in 79.
Yeah.
It took 3 years to make. 79 was big on the disco and the whole
Brother
Jive thing, which there's a little bit of it in this movie.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if it was anybody but, like, I mean, what's the story behind the Elfmans? Are they, like, are they Hollywood? Like, was their dad a producer or something? They just grew up there.
Their dad was in this movie as the old Jewish guy.
But they just, like, grew up in, like, that's what I want to know. Did they grow up poor in California, in SoCal? Did they grow up, like, middle class?
I feel like a lot of that informs
what you can and can't thumb your nose at. It's like, if you were kind of around it, then you have a little bit more leeway, but.
I think they were middle class. I think that's more it. I was middle class. I was lower middle class. Yeah. So that would inform a lot of the commentary that I would have. Too.
But if it made me think of Wonder Chosen, which is like a lot of people can't sit through, but I can, because this goes far. Like, Wonder Chosen usually goes farther than just like the, oh, we're doing this thing, isn't that funny? And they'll just like kind of put the kind of disgusting reality of humanity in your face. Whereas this kind of just like, oh, we're being cute with it, but they never went even more racist. If you're really gonna like push or try to address those topics, I feel like they need to be done. If it's a white guy acting racist and I don't know anything and I just see that, it's just a white guy acting racist.
Yeah.
If there's no real attempt to kind of shift the commentary and kind of present it as commentary instead of just like the presentation.
Now, the other main character, the guy main character, is played by Matthew Bright. He wrote the movie.
Okay.
He's Toshiro Baloney is what his stage name is. He played two characters. They were twins.
Yeah.
He played Squeeze It and his sister, who is...
What was the sister's name?
I don't remember, but she was...
His portrayal was good. I mean, I like...
All of his acting is actually the best performance.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's really funny. Like the master.
His comedy delivery. He's like the only one who has all of the comic timing down.
Yeah.
Susan Terrell is a trooper and everything, but she wasn't even that funny.
I don't think she's supposed to be funny.
She was just doing...
She was there to like chew up the scenery
and
be like bombastic.
Yeah.
She's great at it.
So, and then Hervé Villechaize is supposed to be a little bit funny in certain things, but you can hardly ever understand him because he's Hervé Villechaize, the king in this.
Yeah.
But Bright, as he wrote it, he had scenes like an 8-minute long scene of Squeeze It getting beaten to a pulp and blood spraying all over the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And they had arguments on set like, we can't do this. This is too much. And then he had another scene where Squeeze It was castrated.
Mm-hmm.
He's decapitated at one point. And maybe that was the happy...
But it's like a cartoony...
His head floats off with wings at one point. So
I was like, actually fine with that. I was like, alright. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, the sixth dimension.
Yeah.
There's only so much that you can't do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is it only succeeded as a midnight movie.
Yeah.
So what do you have as midnight movies? You have El Topo, Pink Flamingos, Eraserhead.
I started watching El Topo and I was just like, nah, no thanks.
Really? That's perfect for this show.
Yeah, no, it would be. It would be.
So maybe I'll make you watch it.
I started watching it on YouTube.
You want a nicer picture.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, like,
but if you're going to watch El Topo, you've got to watch the nicer picture. Anyway, so those movies are midnight movies. The Room ended up becoming a midnight movie in recent years.
But it's weird because The Room is essentially doing what all these things are. It's just this one person's like really big, kind of bombastic, usually stupid vision. But like The Room was just so terribly acted.
It was
about it is like it's terribly written. Yeah, like...
It's all
but if he had at least some good visuals or like Danny Elfman doing the music, who knows? That's the problem. The Room is like it literally is the poor man's version of those movies because he had none of those resources and still went out.
I say Eraserhead?
Yeah, you said Eraserhead.
Because that one's another slow one that's hard to get through.
But it's
so rich with content.
Yeah, but you can just sit and watch large swaths of Eraserhead and it's engaging more than like kind of this movie, which was just like so many things shoved in your face.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's what I forgot. So Rocky Horror Picture Show and then Shock Treatment was its sequel, which I actually enjoy Shock Treatment more than Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'm not a fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show. You can stop listening to my show now.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I do like one song, The Time Warp. If I like heard it for the first time 3 days ago, I would be like, that's a good song. But I've
heard it over everybody's
Halloween.
Well, that's the problem is like this weird kind of counterculture that's like just kind of now as oppressive as normal culture. Like you have to love Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And beat it over.
Yeah.
Beat it. And that's kind of, this movie didn't didn't get that.
No, it didn't.
Acclaim. It seems like it would, but yeah. There with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, or with, like, I don't know, everything else now. Like, I mean, sometimes they like good things, like Nightmare Before Christmas or something. Anything still
tied. That's also Danny Elfman.
Yeah, no, I know that, but that's why, like, when I was watching this, like, I was like, oh, this is good. And, like, some of these songs are actually kind of good, yeah. And I really like the Cab Calloway stuff, and all the old kind of jazz and stuff from that era kind of infused into the film was really good, because it gave it this surreal vibe, but then...
So tell me...
The music was really good.
The part about Topeka and Sepulveda, which is my favorite part that doesn't have Danny Elfman in it. The other part is when Danny Elfman is the devil singing.
Mm-hmm.
But Topeka and Sepulveda part has the father of the Hercules family is going to work.
Yeah, like in a tar factory.
In a tar pit. Then he blows up the plant.
He blows up
the... What's the point of that scene? He blows it up and then he, what, lands in the sixth dimension. Is that just a transition to get him into the sixth dimension?
I think it was a very lazy transition, and then like another excuse to put a guy in blackface, like just really quick. Remember, he's like sleep. The guy in blackface is like, "When's your husband getting home?" or whatever.
And then, oh right.
And then they show nothing, and then yeah, and then all of a sudden he's in the Forbidden Zone, and then that's not even followed up at all.
Yeah, he's just like, "Leave me alone, leave me here." So yeah. That's they leave his storyline.
But
so.
By the end, you don't care as a viewer, just,
right?
Because the musical number's so like grand, and you're like, "We're leaving now."
Yeah. So would you say to a person who's never seen this and you don't know their taste,
Don't watch it. Look at the stills of it. There's some great shots in it. The animation is pretty great in it.
Oh, which parts is of it. Very reminiscent of Terry Gilliam's work.
Yeah, yeah. But if... Did he make any more movies, Richard Elfman?
Yeah, he did. He did a movie for Full Moon called Shrunken Heads. It's not exactly great. he said, you know, if I knew that we were going to get a rated R, I would have gone crazy with this thing. But they tried to make a PG-13 movie. And it's just about some kids who witness a drug deal go bad and they get shot. 3 kids. So that's pretty dark for a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And then they get a nice voodoo man, like, says, we need to clean up these streets. So I'm going to do this with like, turning your head small and you're these floating shrunken heads that go, you know, punish the bad guys. Right? It sounds crazy. It sounds good. It's not that good. But Daniel...
No, it doesn't sound good. It just sounds like a really bad idea.
Well, it sounds crazy and good in the sense of a bonkers movie.
Yeah.
It does sound like a bad idea. A bad comic book is really what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Elfman supplied a theme song for it. So he did that. And I think he did another movie called Modern Vampires, which was not good. Not good at all. Just around this time, right before Blade came out, Modern Vampires came out and was like, I don't know. It was like...
Were they really trying to do like modern vampires?
Like... Yeah, like they were... It was modern and they were... It was set contemporary time.
Like Blade, but just not...
It wasn't superhero-y at all. No. It didn't have an adventure theme. It was more like... It was really dark and cynical. And like Natural Born Killers if they were vampires, but not on a road trip.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's... Richard Elfman, he's a strange... Man.
He's like 0-4, however many movies he made.
He's trying to make another Forbidden Zone, and I've seen a clip that he has online.
Like a sequel or a reboot?
Yes, a sequel, and I do not like it. So I would say to the person who's never heard of this stuff, who only watches Back to the Future and Star Wars.
Joseph.
I would say if you like Oingo Boingo,
watch it.
It's an audience for that.
Even if you just like, honestly, if you just like, Music. Some of those songs are good.
Yeah.
And the kind of interpolation of the old stuff with the newer stuff is really good. But I would... How about this? I would like to have this soundtrack on vinyl if it exists.
Oh, yeah. That's
cool. It'd be really cool to own. And the only other time I want to revisit this movie is maybe through the music and like looking at the pictures. Hopefully it has like some picture sleeve.
Right.
You know, something like that. It's probably a great... That would be a great like gatefold cover with, you know, inserts. But
yeah.
Like,
so
probably never need to see it again. And I'm good.
Yeah, I think that's how it is now.
Yeah.
Elby was going to possibly join us to watch it. And
was she like...
Yesterday, she was like, no, I don't need to.
Yeah, she was like, I have to go to the UPS store. I'll be there later, just like an hour and a half later than whenever I said I was going to be there.
How long is the movie?
Yeah.
See, that's kind of how it is. You know, the sad thing is the DVD that we got, it has all these extras on it that we can't access.
Why? Just bad DVD?
Bad DVD.
Oh, that's the worst.
Can't access it. I mean, it's got these Oingo Boingo videos on there, directed by Richard. And
when I was watching it, I was like, this guy would make great videos. But
he did like Private Life. and the song called Little Girls, which that's a satire about creepy old dudes skeezing on girls. So he did those videos, and I'm really looking forward to watching it on DVD. And
nothing. Was it just one of those ones where like the menu doesn't work?
Or the menu ain't working.
Darn you, DVD!
Yeah, so if you really want to watch something, it's chaotic, very chaotic. But
got still some good memorable. Stuff to it. Yeah.
I don't know. This is a hard one to actually recommend.
Yeah.
Do your own research, guys.
Yeah, it's well, that's like any good art. It shouldn't be easy to recommend. It should just be like, hey, if you like this other thing,
yeah.
If you want to go farther, if you want to go a little bit deeper into, if you're tired of the normal stuff you see all the time. Yeah. I would still much rather watch this than like any movie coming out, like, or most movies coming out in the summer, you know? At least it's like a memorable train wreck as opposed to just like one of those like, oh shit,
I got
it's
you.
3 hours later, like,
yeah.
Time to go eat.
Like, Terminator guess. Genesis.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean it like that, but yeah.
So, there you go. Everybody, stay tuned for next episode when we'll watch. I have no idea what we'll watch, but we're gonna watch something. See ya.
Oh, bye guys.
What did I just watch?
That's my surprise face! Yeah.